For this lecture, I want to read you some of the writings of the early apologists and make some comments on them as I go. Justin Martyr was an early church father whom we call an apologist because his writings, which have come down to us, were composed as careful explanations and defenses of the Christian church. Most of his works are lost, but two apologies and a dialogue did survive. The first apology, his most well-known text, passionately defends the morality of the Christian life and provides various ethical and philosophical arguments to convince the Roman Emperor Antonius to abandon the persecution of the fledgling sect. Further, he also makes the theologically innovative suggestion that the seeds of Christianity, that is, manifestations of the Logos acting in history, actually predated Christ's incarnation. This notion allows him to claim that many historical Greek philosophers, including Socrates and Plato, in whose works he was well studied, were unknowing Christians, as he puts it. It is those arguments that I want to take a look at with you for the next few minutes. In the early sections of his first apology, Justin says this to the emperor as he challenges the idea that Christians are a danger to the empire's peace. Justice requires that you inquire into the faith both of him who confesses and of him who denies, that by his deeds it may be apparent what kind of man each is. You see, Justin wants the emperor to compare the lifestyles of those who profess faith in Jesus and those who deny faith in the Christ. Rather than by judging on mere accusation, the emperor should, in the name of justice, only judge by what a person does. And so he continues, "For as some who have been taught by the Master, Christ, not to deny him, give encouragement to others when they are put to the question, so in all probability do those who lead wicked lives give occasion to those who, without consideration, take upon them to accuse all the Christians of impiety and wickedness." Justin is asking the emperor to consider whether the accusations against Christians are made because the accusers are immoral people and not because the Christians are. What is more, just as the Christians give encouragement to each other when they're facing the judge, so do those who are evil give each other encouragement to do evil. He says, "And this also is not right, for of philosophy too, some assume the name and the garb who do nothing worthy of their profession. And you are well aware that those of the ancients whose opinions and teachings were quite diverse are yet all called by the one name of philosophers. And some of these taught atheism. And the poets who have flourished among you raise a laugh out of the uncleanness of Jupiter with his own children. And those who now adopt such instruction are not restrained by you, but on the contrary, you bestow prizes and honors upon those who euphoniously insult the gods." Justin is asking the emperor to consider whether the comedians of his day, who made the populace laugh by insulting the gods of the Roman state, are not rather more guilty of atheism than the Christians. The emperor has been trying to coerce the Christians to adopt the lifestyle of the Roman leaders, but they are laughing along with the whole population at the antics of those who are their entertainers. And not only does the emperor not seek to silence them, Justin says, you give them awards. How can this be fair? In the next section, Justin goes out on what I would call a philosophical limb, by making the assertion that the great Greek philosophers were themselves taught by the Christ who is the Logos, the Word and wisdom of the true God. He says, "Why then should this be in our case, who pledge ourselves to do no wickedness, nor to hold these atheistic opinions, you do not examine the charges made against us, but yielding to unreasoning passion and to the instigation of evil demons, you punish us without consideration or judgment. Justin is here saying that it is because of spiritual warfare that the charges are being levied against the Christians. He says, we have pledged to do no wickedness. The followers of Jesus were to be those who lived upright lives and not people who violated the civil laws of the Roman state. It is because, Justin tells the emperor, of the instigation of demons that this persecution of the church is going on. He says this, for the truth shall be spoken. Since of old these evil demons, effecting visions of themselves, both defiled women and corrupted boys, and showed such fearful sights to men that those who did not use their reason in judging of the actions that were done were struck with terror. And being carried away by fear and not knowing that these were demons, they called them gods. And gave to each the name with which each of the demons chose for himself. Justin comes right out and tells the emperor that it was demons who led the ancestors of the Roman populace to call them gods by terrorizing them. And each demon had made a name for himself, and that is how the gods came to be feared. It was not that the people wanted to serve demons. They were deceived and terrorized into worshiping these demons. Then he says this, and when Socrates endeavored by true reason and examination to bring these things to light and deliver men from the demons, then the demons themselves, by means of men who rejoiced in antiquity, compassed his death as an atheist and a profane person on the charge that he was introducing new divinities. And in our case, they display a similar activity. Here Justin calls to mind the history of Socrates, who had attempted to get the Athenians to realize that they were worshiping demons. What had happened to him was that these demons could not allow themselves to be exposed for what they were. So they incited men who themselves loved iniquity to have Socrates killed for being an atheist and a profane person. By the time that Justin was teaching, around AD 140, Socrates was not looked upon as an atheist nor a profound person, but as a great philosopher. Justin asks and desires the same treatment for the Christians. And then he goes on to say that it was the Jesus Christ himself who had given the spiritual insights that Socrates had. He writes, for not only among the Greeks did reason, or the Logos, prevail to condemn these things through Socrates, but also among the barbarians were they condemned by reason, or by the word, the Logos himself, who took shape and became man and was called Jesus Christ. And in obedience to him, we not only deny that they who did such things as these are gods, but assert that they are wicked and impious demons, whose actions will not bear comparison with even of men desirous of virtue. Hence are we called atheists. And we confess that we are atheists so far as the gods of this sort are concerned, but not with respect to the most true God, the Father of righteousness and temperance and the other virtues, who is free from all impurity. But both him and the Son who came forth from him and taught us these things, and the prophetic spirit we worship and adore, knowing them in reason and in truth, and declaring without grudging to everyone who wishes to learn, as we have been taught. Justin makes the case that the Christians are atheists as far as the worship of the gods of demonic origin are concerned, but the Christian worship of the most true God, who is the Father of righteousness, temperance, and other virtues, is to be upheld by the emperor as good. It's interesting that he invokes the concept of virtue to the Roman emperor because to the Romans, mankind's highest calling was to be a person of virtue. 200 years later, St. Augustine would write that virtue is a good habit consonant with our nature. That was what the Romans often were seeking in their lives, to acquire the habits which would make them the best human being possible. Justin lets the emperor in on a little secret. The virtues which you seek are found in the God we worship. But someone will say, some have ere now been arrested and convicted as evildoers, for you condemn many, many a time after inquiring into the life of each of the accused severally, but not on account of those of whom we have been speaking. And this we acknowledge that, as among the Greeks, those who teach such theories as please themselves are all created by the one name, are all called by the one name, philosopher. Though their doctrines be diverse, so also among the barbarians, this name on which accusations are accumulated is the common property of those who are and those who seem wise. For all are called Christians. Wherefore, we demand that the deeds of those who are accused to you be judged, in order that each one who is convicted may be punished as an evildoer and not as a Christian. And if it is clear that anyone is blameless, that he may be acquitted, since by the mere fact of his being a Christian, he does no wrong. For we will not require that you punish our accusers, they being sufficiently punished by their present wickedness and ignorance of what is right. Justin's defense of the Christian relies on the good judgment of the emperor. He's giving the emperor his due as the one who reigns in Rome and who holds the power of life and death over the Christians. A few sections later, we find this very interesting assertion. And more than all other men are we your helpers and allies in promoting peace, seeing that we hold this view, that it is alike impossible for the wicked, the covetous, the conspirator, and for the virtuous to escape the notice of God, and that each man goes to everlasting punishment or salvation according to the value of his actions. For if all men knew this, no one would choose wickedness even for a little, knowing that he goes to the everlasting punishment of fire, but would by all means restrain himself and adorn himself with virtue that he might obtain the good gifts of God and escape the punishments. For those who, on account of the laws and punishments you impose, endeavor to escape detections when they offend, those persons, if they learned and were convinced that nothing, whether actually done or only intended, can escape the knowledge of God, would by all means live decently on account of the penalties threatened, as even you yourselves will admit. But you seem to fear lest all men become righteous, and you no longer have any to punish. Such would be the concern of public executioners, but not of good princes. It seems that Justin relies on a little humor here to break the tension that is sure to have been arising in the emperor as he heard this appeal read to him. He tells the emperor that it seems he's afraid that all his citizens will become righteous and so he will have no one to execute. Oh, what a problem that would be. Justin continues, but as we said before, we are persuaded that these things are prompted by evil spirits who demand sacrifices and service even from those who live unreasonably. But as for you, we presume that you, who aim at a reputation for piety and philosophy, will do nothing unreasonable. But if you also, like the foolish, prefer custom to truth, do what you have the power to do. But just so much power have rulers who esteem opinion more than truth, as robbers have in a desert. And that you will not succeed is declared by the word, aside from whom, after God who begot him, we know there is no ruler more kingly and just. For as all shrink from succeeding to the poverty or the sufferings or obscurity of their fathers, so whatever the word forbids us to choose, the sensible man will not choose. That all these things should come to pass. I say, our teacher foretold. He who is both Son and Apostle of God the Father of all and the ruler Jesus Christ, from whom also we have the name Christian, whence we become more assured of all the things he has taught us, since whatever he beforehand foretold should come to pass is seen, in fact, coming to pass, and this is the work of God, to tell of a thing before it happens. And as it was foretold, so to show it happening. It were possible to pause here and add no more, reckoning that we demand what is just and true. But because we are well aware that it is not easy suddenly to change a mind possessed by ignorance, we intend to add a few things for the sake of persuading those who love the truth, knowing that it is possible to put ignorance to flight by presenting the truth. So Justin continues to explain the position of the Christians to the emperor. It's a fine example of how we ourselves are to honor and give respect to those who are in authority in our lives. It does not mean they're right, nor that they are wise, but it does mean that we recognize the office the authorities hold, and we will give our obedience to them, but only to a certain point. Thanks for joining me in this little examination of the first apology of Justin Martyr.